Buenos dias, Iglesia. Good morning, church. I first want to say thank you on behalf of us pastors for the care and support you've shown us during Pastors Appreciation Month. I am humbled and grateful to be called and placed here to minister among you. So first of all, thank you. This fall, we are learning how to pray. And one of the ways God's people are taught to pray is with praise, with adoration. Our psalm this morning, our reading, Psalm 148, captures with exuberance and invitation the summons to praise the Lord. It opens and ends with this phrase, praise the Lord, and repeats throughout that call for all that is in heaven and on earth to praise the Lord. And today it is our guide to praise and adoration prayer. This repeated word praise in the psalm is the Hebrew word halal. And this word for praise has this idea of like a light being shone. That is, it's drawing attention to the subject of our praise. It's boasting and delighting and making it known that the one we praise is a really big deal, deserving of the spotlight. And when this word for praise, halal, is combined with the name of God, that is where we actually get the word hallelujah from. Now, halal is not the only word in Scripture for praise. Other words have to do with lifting of the hands. Lifting your voice in song with words to make known how great God is. Praise is done with instruments and with voices, with reverence and with bowing and with blessing. So, I have a lesson for you. Here's the first lesson today on what it means to praise the Lord is that you've already done it. Congratulations. If those of you who like check boxes can just like check that off. As you have entered God's presence this morning with reverence and with awe, with voices singing out in testimony, with amens spoken and silent, with your bodies and souls in a posture of worship towards God, you have been learning to praise God. You are learning the attitudes, the grammar, the vocabulary, the posture of what it means to let your life be poured out in praise and in prayer towards our Lord. So yeah, congratulations. So we learn then that one of the ways to praise the Lord in prayer is to gather with his people in worship. So again, well done. First lesson, check. Psalm 148 summons all of creation to praise the Lord. First of all, heaven is summoned to praise the Lord, and then secondly, the earth. We hear in this first section of this kind of taking in and trying to grasp as wide as we can all that is in the heavens, the lights, that is the stars, the shining ones, the sun and the moon, but also the heavenly hosts of angels, and even the waters above, they are all called to praise on the Lord, for at his command they were created. And then the summon of Psalm 48 then turns its attention earthward, calling out a few to capture this entire invitation to all of earth to praise the Lord, to living and non-living creatures. We hear of the great sea creatures from the depths of the seas. We get to imagine the flashes of lightning, the hammer of hail, the drifting of snow, the breeze of the clouds. We see the mountains rising in praise and the trees flowering and bearing fruit. We hear the lowing of cattle. We can imagine the tittering and screeching and singing, an absolute cacophony of all animals, small and large and flying around, zipping in praise to the Lord. What the psalm is trying to do is, in calling all of creation to praise the Lord, is to draw our minds back to Genesis 1, to see that God is our creator, and to marvel at his act of creation. In Scripture, praise is rooted in who God is and what he has done, and these go hand in hand. We look to the character of God and we see what God does. We see what God does and it draws us back to the character of God. If you want to learn to praise the Lord, then focus on these two things, who God is and what he has done. And Psalm 148 gives us this great lesson in creation. We look to creation and wonder and are drawn towards our Creator. We marvel at the character of God as a creating God and are moved to delight in His creation. I want you to notice something as well. Notice that the worship of God begins before humans ever show up. From the beginning of creation, of light shining out in praise of God, to the separation of waters, the lifting of dry lands, the making of lights, and all the plants and animals thriving and being fruitful creatures, creates this choir of cosmic praise before our first ancestors ever were made. It might be strange and striking to us to hear that praise does not begin with us humans. That worship and praise is something larger and earlier than us human creatures. By the time that we are made, this cosmic choir of praise has been ongoing. And so what do we get to do? We get to join in. We get to join in because we are made. When we were made, the first things what we do, we hear, we heard creation praising God. It is built into us to recognize with the opening of Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Church, I want you to know that you have a great teacher in praise in creation. It is why many of us are drawn outside to spend time outdoors, in the mountains, seeing a sunrise, the light glittering off the morning frost, the crisp welcome of autumn air, hearing the sound of nothing but wind in the leaves and birdsong and the quiet crunch of soil under our feet. So here I have some homework for you. Maybe the best homework assignment I've ever given you. If you want to learn to praise in prayer, step outside. Take time this week to get outside and let your mind and heart and soul ponder the awe and wonder of creation and be drawn to praise the Creator of it all, who is your Creator too. How do we learn to pray praises to the Lord? We remember and praise God as our Creator. And we're drawn into this great symphony of unity as creation towards our Creator. As Psalm 148 continues, finally it gets to us. It summons us human creatures. And we see that there is this dimension of unity in our praise and our prayer. As the summons to praise the Lord from the earth reaches humans, we read of kings of the earth and of all nations, you princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women, old men and children. We remember the goodness and creation all together and we praise God. And we see that in creation we are made. Excuse me. We are made in the image of God and so are equal before God in worship. It does not matter if you have unlimited power like a king or no power at all. It does not matter if you are in the prime of your strength and or you are old. It does not matter to be a man or a woman. Before God in praise, we find that we are one people made in God's image. Here in our midst, as we pray and as we worship, we are to have the mindset that we are not better than one another. We do not look to worldly titles and ways. We do not put up barriers because of age and sex. God's people are one, and our praise and our prayers of praise are to reflect that. So here's one way that you can let this unity of all people being summoned to praise teach you. Train yourself that when you see somebody else, to call to mind that that person is made in God's image. Whether it's on the bus or waiting a line or getting cut off in traffic, when your coworker microwaves a tuna dish just before you use the microwave, when your neighbor is once again escalating conflict in your neighborhood or sitting around with your family and friends, teach yourself to say as you look upon these people, made in God's image. And then you can let this wonder of a creator who can only be hinted at in the beauty, the diversity, the range of people who are made in his image. And when we are gathered like this, as we are this morning, as God's new life community in Jesus, we can actually go further. We can say made in God's image and one for whom Christ died. You can do that right now. Look to the person beside you, this one who has received the grace of Jesus, and say to yourself, this person is made in God's image. This person is someone for whom Christ died. As I think and reflect on the myriad of ways the Father's grace and Spirit has reached out to touch and draw in each one of us to see new life in Jesus, I am moved to praise and to wonder. Because God got a hold of you, we praise the Lord. Because God got a hold of me, I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for his mercy, for his grace and his faithfulness, his patience and his creativity in drawing us to himself. This, the most recent time that this really struck me was last month in serving communion. I found myself deeply moved to gratitude to be serving as your pastor. I was humbled and in awe of God's work of grace in your lives. And tears came to me as I served you all with this, but within me was a spirit of prayer of hallelujah. Hallelujah that God has brought us together. Hallelujah that God has saved us. Hallelujah that God has made us one. How do we learn to pray praises to the Lord? We remember what God has done to make us one with each other and with creation. We're going to wrap up shortly, but before we do, I actually want to lead you in a practical exercise of praising the Lord. In verses 13 and 14 of Psalm 148, we hear that all are summoned to join in the praises of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the heavens and the earth. This is why we are called by Psalm 148 to praise the Lord, for his name is to be exalted, lifted high. And I'd like us to do the same. If you are looking for a way to frame your praise that comes from knowing God's character and his work, you can use this format. God, you are, and then you can fill in the blank. And I'd like us to try it here today together. Are you okay with this? Okay, even if you're not, we're going to do it. And so here's what I'd like us to do. And then you can try it here, and then you can try it out in your own prayers. I invite you to speak out the words out loud, God, you are, and then fill it in with something of God's work or character that is worthy to be exalted. All right, are you up for trying this? Who's going to be the brave one who goes first? And I'd like you to say the whole phrase, God, you are, and then fill in the blank, okay? All right. God, you are protector. God, you are awesome. Your Father, Son, and Spirit. God, you are all powerful. God, you are all knowing. God, you are loving. God, you are patient. You are, sorry? Support. Yeah, you support us. Eternal. God, you are gracious. God, you are in my life. So try it out this week. When you take time to pray, start this way. And as you read scripture or sing songs and are drawn to prayer, then reflect on that scripture or those songs. As you look to what God has done for you and for this world, as you look to the character of God, let this become a key part of your prayers. God, you are, and then exalt the name of the Lord. Lift high his work and his deeds and his character. How do we learn to pray praises to the Lord? We take time in our prayer to adore God for who he is and what he has done. As you seek to praise the Lord, please know there is this freedom and this gift that comes with prayers of praise. Because when we praise God, it's not dependent on our specific situation. Our praise of God begins with who God is and what he has done. sometimes that means that we can join in the exuberance of Psalm 148 and other prayers with joy and the liveliness that it evokes. However, we are called to praise the Lord at all times. And this also goes for the hard and difficult times and situations. And because our praise is rooted in God's character and God's deeds, we are free to praise God when our situation is dark and hellish, broken, or painful. Because who God is doesn't change. We can praise God at all times. He is good. He is creator. He is savior. And this psalm can be a guide for us in those times when all we have in us is to simply whisper out, hallelujah. So when your own words won't come, take Psalm 148, perhaps out for a walk and a reading, letting its words invite you, join you in with the cosmic choir of praise to God. How do we learn to praise the Lord? We do so even in the darkest, driest, worst moments of our life, because our praise is God-specific, not us-specific. Okay, we're going to wrap up and transition to communion with this last verse of Psalm 148. We hear there in verse 14, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants, Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. This horn idea is this image of strength, of victory, of salvation. See, the idea is that actually we've gone far from God. We've been pulled away by sin and held at bay by the forces of darkness that conspire to isolate and barricade and enchain us apart from our Creator. But God's character is one of faithfulness. He can't leave us there. So God acts to save. This result is a new closeness to God. God has raised a horn. We are rescued. And as a result, we are brought close. And praise erupts from our lips. At the time that this psalm was written, the greatest salvation, the greatest show of strength of God is how he raised his people out of Egypt in the Exodus. When he rescued them from slavery. Just a spoiler, we're going to study the Exodus next year. Translation is tricky work, and this phrase that God has raised for his people a horn could also be translated as God will raise a horn of salvation for his people. And so there's some ambiguity here. And I think the psalmist is intentional. The psalmist is looking back and saying, praise the name of the Lord for what he has done in saving us. But there is hope as well. The psalmist looks ahead and says, praise the Lord for he will raise a horn of salvation for his people. And from our place in history, we can look back and see the mightiest horn God has or ever will raise, that he has given us his son to set us free and make us his own people, one with each other and one with God. In Jesus, this light shines out and summons praise, for in Jesus we see the fullness of God. In Jesus, we encounter the creating one who has come to announce God's kingdom and welcome us into new creation. In Jesus, we are encountering the one whose suffering on the cross is a sign raised high of the salvation of God to endure and break the powers of all that would keep us from God. By his faithfulness, by his suffering, his enduring, we see how Jesus is mighty to save. And then he is raised up, resurrected. As Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How do we learn then to pray prayers of praise? We look to Jesus, remembering and celebrating and glorifying God for what he has done, and looking ahead in hope for the rescue that is still to come at his return. So we are called then to join in this cosmic choir praising God because he is the only God. Our voices get to unite with all of creation. We get to exalt the name of the Lord with all our fellow creatures. Heaven and earth and everything in it are just a small pointer to the greater glory of God. And this entire summons to praise the Lord is in response to what God has done, but also in anticipation. The cosmic praise of the Lord altogether is a practice of what is to come when Jesus returns and all is made well again. There is a foreshadowing of when God and all of creation dwell together in right relationship and unity once again. Consider that it takes all of creation, from the vibrations of molecules, the swarming of insects, the rush of the wind, the ocean's waves, the crawling creatures below, the flight of flocks above, the herd of animals, wild and domestic, the depths of the oceans, the hosts of angels, our own praise, this life of the church, and all that we can see or possibly ever see with telescopes, all of this now to praise God, to even offer a glimpse of the worship, the praise that will go on when God's kingdom comes fully on earth as it is in heaven. So we get to praise the Lord. We get to raise up a hallelujah.